Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll pick up where we left off last week, talking about this thing called spiritual gifts. And I'm going to start at chapter 12, verse number 4, and I'm going to read through verse number 11. So I hear pages turning. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse number 4. My NIV Bible says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one, just as He determines. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we continue on this journey of spiritual gifts, Father, my prayer is that as we talk about and expound on all the different gifts that the Spirit gives to each and every believer, that our eyes will be open as to what it is, the gift that we may have, and the gift that we could use for the edification of the body. So, Father, open our eyes and our minds to that this morning. May your Scripture just speak to us. And, Father, may the meditation of my heart and the words that come from my mouth here this morning, may they also be pleasing to you. I hide behind the cross, Lord, and I ask that you will transform lives here today. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We continue in the sermon series on spiritual gifts. This is week number 3. Let's have a really quick review of what we've learned the first 2 weeks. Only believers receive spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives gifts and determines what gifts we receive. We just kind of read that there in 1 Corinthians. Remember, they are not earned. They are not learned. They cannot be bought and they cannot be taught. Why? Because they are spiritual gifts. So what is the purpose for believers having these things called spiritual gifts? The purpose of the spiritual gifts is to edify the body of believers, the body of Christ, so that, one, there'll be no division in the body, and that every part should have equal concern for each other and to serve each other faithfully. And those are the things that we've covered over the last 2 weeks, kind of a general outline of this thing called spiritual gifts. But one of the things I brought up last week about church is this. I said this: the church is not an organization. The church, who remembers? The church is what? An organism. It's an organism. And an organism needs to be fed. An organism needs to be built up. An organism needs to be edified. Because an organism needs to grow. And the church, us believers, we are an organism. And when these things happen, great things happen to church and to the body of believers individually. But when these things don't happen, an organism can quite often die. So we use our gifts, as it says in Ephesians 4:12, it says, for the edification of the body. We use our gifts, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, for the common good. And we use our gifts, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14:12, it says, Paul says, to seek to abound for the edification of the church. And all three of those say one and the same things. You notice in each case, these gifts, these spiritual gifts that we've been given, are for each other, for the body of believers. We must remember that the Bible, that this book that we have here in front of us, teaches a God-centered theology and not a man-centered theology. It's not about self. It's all about God. So once I receive this gift or these gifts that I'm going to have, what's going to happen? I use them for the edification of the body, and then God gets the praise, and God gets the glory. We saw that in 1 Peter 4:11. After all, if we have spiritual gifts, it was God's Spirit that gave them to us to begin with. Amen? Amen. Okay, so that's who receives the spiritual gifts, and that's their purpose. So what are the gifts? And that's what we're going to start here today. What are the gifts? We're going to go through each one of these gifts. We're not going to do them all in one week. But in your bulletin, you're going to find different passages, three passages out of the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and then 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And they're all written there in your bulletin so you can see them. The spiritual gifts identified in Romans 12 that I have there are prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, and mercy. The list in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11 include the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And the list in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 includes healings, helps, governments, and tongues. Now, different translation Bibles are going to always say them by, or not always, but there's a good chance that your Bible, if you're not using an NIV, is going to use different words to describe these gifts, but it's still going to all be the same thing. As I was doing my research this week, one of the websites said this, that all the spiritual gifts are supernatural gifts. And I thought, no, wait a second. All of them are supernatural gifts? Well, they are supernatural. Why? Because they came from the Holy Spirit. We did not learn them, and we did not earn them, and we did not buy them, and they cannot be taught. They were given to us, so they were supernatural. So no matter which one of the gifts we may have, they were provided by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to break the list down into two categories. And actually, I kind of have them separated in the bulletin. One, they're all supernatural gifts, but one I'm going to call, I couldn't come up with a good word, so I'm going to call them ordinary gifts. And then there's another section I'm going to call the miraculous gifts. Now, you'll notice in your bulletin where I have the three sections, the miraculous gifts I kind of have in parentheses there. And we're going to talk about them separate. So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to go over the 12 ordinary gifts that are listed there. We're going to talk about them today, next week, and the week after. There's going to be 12 of them, and we're going to talk about the first four today. I thought, when I was first preparing this, I thought, you know, I could go through all 12 in one day. And then as I started going into them, I said, nah, I think I'll do six this week and six next week. And then I said, how about four and four and four? And then it almost come down to, why don't I just do one each week? Which I thought, no, I'll just stick with four. So, but what we're going to find is this. Out of the 12 ordinary gifts, there's going to be a lot of overlap in them. You might say, well, it sounds like this gift is a lot like this one. And that's going to be true. The gifts are going to have some overlapping in them. So I want you to be prepared for that up front. So let's talk about the first one. From Romans 12:6, I believe the first one there is prophecy. So let's talk about prophecy. The meaning of the word prophecy, as outlined as a gift, means this, to speak forth. Means to prophesy, means to speak forth. In the theological sense, it means to speak forth the word of God, or to make known in any way the truth of God's word. That's what it means in the context of a gift, if a person has been gifted with the gift of prophecy. It does not mean, and we'll talk about this in a couple weeks, it does not mean we predict the future. It does not mean we predict future events. Again, we'll talk about that form of prophecy later on down the road, in about a month or so. Most of the time, when we think of people who have the gift of prophecy, we think of preachers such as Charles Stanley. We think of pastors such as Roger Browning. He comes here for revival quite often. We think of evangelists such as Billy Graham. And I'll say this, and I say it quite often, be careful what prophets what evangelists and what teachers you follow. There are those who can give a great presentation in front of people. But the question is, if they are truly prophets as designed and delegated by the Holy Spirit, are they presenting, here's the question you need to ask, are they presenting the Word of God as revealed by this book? Any one of us in here can speak to a crowd, but not everyone has the gift of prophecy. Jesus warns us in Matthew 7:15. He says this, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Obviously, Jesus knew that false prophets had always been and always will be a problem in the church. And then again in Matthew 24, verses 10 and 24, Jesus says this, and he's talking about end times. "At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." So we need to be careful of people who say they have this gift, quote unquote, of prophecy. If anyone ever tells you, if they say whatever they're going to say, and then they say this, "Thus saith the Lord." You ever heard that term? "Thus saith the Lord." You know, a lot of people will say that. Make sure that what they're thus saying is coming from here. Okay, it's really that simple. If it's coming from the Word of God, then it's going to be accurate. But we want to be careful. So how does the gift, if someone has the gift of prophecy, how does it edify the body? How does it edify the believers? Well, 1 Corinthians 14:4 tells us that the one who prophesies edifies the church. It's pretty straightforward. It just says it right there. The one who prophesies edifies the church. And I would hope that every time that I stand up here and preach, that we all are edified by the truth of God's word. And I know that when I watch, personally, if I watch Charles Stanley or David Jeremiah or my favorite pastor to listen to, John MacArthur, I know that I get built up, I get nourished, I get fed myself, and therefore I get edified because someone else is prophesying the word of God. When one has this gift, it edifies those who do not. Of course, it can edify those who also have the gift, but it edifies those who do not. Remember last week, the analogy of the body? Not everyone is gifted the same way, right? You have gifts that I don't have. So when you use your gifts, you edify me. When I use my gifts, I edify you. Continuing with prophecy here real quick. On the other hand, did you know that any believer can prophesy? Did you know that you could prophesy? You could prophesy. We can all prophesy. Anytime a believer speaks the truth of God's word as revealed by this book, you are prophesying. It might be on a very small scale. It might be on an individual scale, just to another believer, but you are still prophesying. But I believe there's a difference between the momentary sharing of God's word, like if you're just sharing with another believer, and the continual pursuit and study of the proclamation of God's word. To me, that's where sharing stops and the gift of prophecy begins. How often you do it, who you do it in front of, the audience, etc., etc. So I ask this question. Do you feel comfortable, and is it easy for you to share God's word with other believers? If so, perhaps you just might have the gift of prophecy. Let's move on to the second gift, as outlined in Romans. This one's in Romans 12:7. It's the gift serving, servanthood, whatever term your Bible may use. Serving. It's from the Greek word diakonion, which we get the English word deacon. This gift means service of any kind. It is very similar to the gift of helps that we see in 1 Corinthians 12:28. But for the sake of the study, I'm going to differentiate between serving and helps. And here's the way I'm going to differentiate that. Even though there's much overlap in those two gifts, I'm going to just say this for the sake of making it easy for us to understand. I'm going to say this. Serving is going to be when we serve the church, a church-wide gift. Whereas helps is more on an individual, personal type basis. So that's the way I'm going to address these two serving we'll talk about here today. So the gift of serving. The gift of serving is as simple as those who are just willing to lend a hand. And sometimes people who serve end up doing the most mundane and sometimes the most disagreeable task, but they do it with a spirit of humility and they do it with a spirit of grace. Some examples of those who have this gift, they do some of these things. They volunteer to care for the church building and the grounds. They set up the fellowship hall for an after-service luncheon. And they clean up afterwards. They use their talent to play the piano and to sing in the choir. They drive buses to pick up children and other people to bring them to church and to other church events. They set up chairs and halls for different types of church activities. They run and they maintain audio and video equipment if the church might have that in their church. They lead choirs and they lead drama groups. All these things that are part of many, many churches. So how does the gift edify the body? I'm going to say it's pretty much this simple. When something around the church needs to be done, it's always these people who are there to do it. And as I look around the sanctuary, there is no doubt in my mind, I see many people who are sitting in here this morning who, without a doubt, have the gift of serving. Every last one of our fellowship meals, from the day that I started here till just the last one we had, would not happen, not ever happen, if there weren't the men and women in this congregation who didn't have the gift of service. So how does it edify the body? It edifies me. Because I don't have the gift. I don't have the gift. I let the people who have the gift use the gift. But I ask this. Do you feel comfortable serving? And I think this is the key. Because you want to. Not because you have to. If you do, perhaps you have the gift of serving. Third one, teaching. Let's move to the next word. This is also from Romans chapter 12. This is from the Greek word didaskolos. Didaskolos, which means to instruct. To instruct. This gift is similar in some ways, again, some overlap with the gift of prophecy. And the fact that what is being taught or prophesied is the word of God. But it differs in the fact that the prophet speaks forth the word of God. In other words, reads the scriptures, which is actual scripture text. Whereas a teacher would explain the meaning. The teacher would explain the context. The teacher would explain the application to other believers. A spiritually gifted teacher is one who has a unique ability to clearly instruct and communicate biblical knowledge, specifically the doctrines of the faith. James 3:1 says this. There is a warning. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Now, I want you to know one thing. I felt like the Lord had certainly given me the gift of teaching. But when I read this verse, I thought, oh my, I am going to be judged more strictly. Which means that I have to do what? I have to be very, very, very careful of what I teach here, what I teach over there, what I teach on our Wednesday night Bible study, what I teach anywhere. And if you are a teacher, You need to be very careful, just like I do, because why? Because people like you and I are going to be judged more strictly than the next person. I'm convinced, I am certainly convinced, that there are too many people in churches who are in teaching positions, or even that teach in a church setting, or even in a private setting, that do not have the spiritual gift of teaching. And I'll tell you a great example. A great example is this. Gail and I were attending the United Methodist Church over on the other side of the mountain. And this is back before the two of us were ever saved. And this was probably late 80s, early 90s. And they needed somebody to teach the senior high children, you know, the 9th through 12th graders. And they come up to me and said, "Mike, would you like to teach that class?" And I thought, yeah, I could do that. There I was, teaching a class of senior high students. And I wasn't even saved myself. Not even having a clue what this book said. Not a clue. Some people are just put into positions because they are a willing, warm body. And that should not be the case, my friends. It should not be the case. I learned my lesson afterwards. And just like Jesus tells us to beware of false prophets, we must also be aware of false teachers. In the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, instructing him over and over again about teaching sound doctrine within the church. Why? Because there will always be those who want to come into a church who want to do one of two things. They don't want to teach sound doctrine, and there will always be those inside the church who don't want to hear sound doctrine. Very good. But Paul tells Timothy, we got to preach and teach sound doctrine. You know, there's one way to tell. How do I know if this teacher, this preacher, is a false teacher? And I told one person this one time. Because they'll never teach about false teachers. Why should they give themselves up? A false teacher will never preach about false teachers. Just thought I'd throw that in there. So how does the gift of teaching edify the body of believers? Well, let's face it, not everyone is gifted to read and understand and to interpret what this book says. So the church is edified as people listen to the Word of God and hear what it means and how to apply it to their own lives. I mentioned this fact in our Sunday school this morning. Many of us in Sunday school, if not all of us, probably have study Bibles. There's a lot of these passages that throughout the early years of my Christian walk, I had no idea what these things were saying, but my study Bible would teach me a lot of different things about what the Bible was saying. And it edified me on that basis. So I asked this question. Do you feel like that you can explain the meaning, the context, and application of God's Word and communicate that to other believers without error? Two key words. Without error. Perhaps you have the gift of teaching. So we've gone through three. We're going to do one more. We've done prophecy. Done serving. We've done teaching. And our fourth one that we'll cover today. Encouraging. The gift of encouragement or encouraging. Or some Bibles might say exhortation. That's a great word. Also called exhortation. This gift of encouragement or exhortation is evident in those who consistently call upon others to heed and follow God's truth. Now, what do I mean by that? It might mean for one Christian, one believer, to go up to another believer, and it might involve correction. It might involve building others up by strengthening their weak faith or comforting them in their trials or correcting them in the things that they might be doing that they shouldn't be doing. Encouragement could go either way. The gift of encouragement differs from the gift of teaching in that, and I love what this says, is that encouragement focuses on the practical application of the Bible. And as I said earlier, that these gifts are going to overlap in some way or another. So we have the gift of teaching, which focuses on the meaning and the context of the Word of God over here. But those who have the gift of encouragement, they focus on the practical application of the Word of God. I'll tell you who's the best prophet slash teacher slash encourager that you'll ever find on TV today. His name is Charles Stanley. He can take the Word of God and bring it down to practical application within our lives. I believe that man has all three of those gifts. A person with this gift, and you're thinking, well, do I have this gift? Well, a person with this gift can relate to others with understanding, with sympathy, and with positive guidance. A teacher who has the gift of teaching would say, this is the way you should go. Whereas the encourager would say, I will help you go in that direction. A person with the gift of encouragement can help another person move from pessimism to optimism, from fear to faith. And boy, this world needs encouragers that have that gift. So how does the gift of encouragement edify the body? Well, I kind of explained a lot of ways, but the gift is useful in counseling. It's used in discipleship. It's used in mentoring. And it is used in teaching and preaching. The body of Christ is built up in their faith and their trust in the promises of God. When one has this gift, it edifies those who do not. I know, personally speaking, last year was a very, very difficult year for me, both physically and mentally. There was many, many of you who would come up to me personally and encourage me. Many of you sent me cards. I know this, there are many of you in here who, without a doubt, have the gift of encouragement. So I ask, do you feel that you encourage others, that you can encourage others in the promises of God, that you can show concern and care when others are in need? Might you have that spiritual gift of encouragement? Well, if you can do these things, perhaps that you do. So, there's the first four gifts that we'll cover here this week. We'll cover four more next week. The body of Christ. Remember, why are we covering this whole thing about spiritual gifts? We're covering it for this, because it is the pastor's responsibility to make sure that you know that there are such things as spiritual gifts and to help you determine what they are. So each week I'm going to cover four different gifts, and it's up to you to say, you know what, I think I can do that. But the body of Christ, us here at Beech Grove Church, the whole body of believers globally, we need to be strong. I'll tell you what, I don't know where this world is going, but there's never a time that the church needs to be stronger than what we need to be right now, my friends. The Christian believers need to make a difference in the world. Christian believers need to be a difference in this world. And to accomplish this, if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to be a difference, we need to be edified. We need to be built up. And we do that by building each other up. You have gifts that I do not have. Please use your gifts to edify me and to edify others who do not have those gifts. And I have gifts that you do not have. I will use my gifts to edify those in here who do not. I say this, let's make and keep this church, Beech Grove Christian Church, a very healthy and a very strong church. We have all been gifted in some way or another. So let's all use those gifts wisely. Next week, we'll go on to four more gifts. Let's go to God in prayer.